What do CEOs need to know about sales these days? A lot. Outdated sales strategies and tactics plague most companies today. Listen to what innovative CEOs and experts have to say about how to change all that with Sales Talk for CEOs. Welcome to Sales Talk for CEOs. You all know that I talk to CEOs all the time about their sales process, their sales systems, their sales goals, and most importantly, their sales strategy. But when I come into a company, typically I'll start asking about the sales process. And although there is somewhat of a process there, it's not systematized. Now, I'm not just talking about startups because I work with companies that are 10 and 20 years old. So when I walk into, you know, a startup, I would expect they don't have things systematized. But in a 10 or 20 year old company, it's always very interesting to see what is the sales process and what are the systems around it. And they're usually just not there or they're broken. And part of the reason is because even after all that time, so much of the knowledge about sales and how it happens is in one person's head. Usually it's a CEO or a sales leader who's been there a long time or a salesperson who's been there a long time. So I'm super excited today to have an expert who's going to help us unravel all of this and figure out how to systematize our sales process and get all that information out of people's heads and into a place where everyone can use it and learn from it. I'm excited to have Addie Klevitz on the show today because she is an expert in systemizing things. Welcome, Addie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great to be a guest on the show.
Yeah, it was so fun because I got to be on your podcast not too long ago and we had a
So we're going to do it again. You're going to be a recurring guest. So we had so much fun having our conversation that we decided to do part two because we had so much to talk about.
Absolutely. So that'll be fun to look forward to. Well, before we jump into our topic today, which I know all the CEOs listening are going to be very interested in, tell everyone about a little bit about what you do, who you do it for, and the results that they get.
Yeah. So what we do is we create, document, optimize, and implement processes and procedures for companies, for fast-growing companies that are lacking consistency. That's what we do. We do it, and the results that they get, freedom, because it allows the founder, the owner, to step out of the business, or whether they're in the business, not to work in the business, but on the business, and create the freedom to create. It also empowers the teams to do their jobs correctly, know what they're doing, and be able to create, replicate the success every single time.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, right? How do we replicate success? If everything's in one person's head and they're just saying, well, just do it like I do, it's really hard because I don't know exactly what you do and I'm trying to figure it out. But we do need to document things. And I always urge startups, right? The CEOs always want to hire a salesperson as quickly as humanly possible or a sales leader. And I tell them, listen, you are not set up for success in doing that. What you have to do first is, you know, document what you're doing that works and how you do it. And it would be more advantageous to hire like a sales coordinator or an assistant or even outsource someone like you to document all of that first and then hire someone because now you can give them a playbook.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into this. So we walk into a company, not a startup. They're in it. They're 10 years old. They might be 20 years old. And in my case, that CEO is always looking for an advantage. They're always looking at how to grow even more and even faster. Many of them want to exit their companies eventually, or they want to bring on some debt or equity financing or do some acquisitions. But they're just really not ready yet because their sales is not where it needs to be. It's not profitable enough. And it's because they really don't have the systems in place that they need. So, Ade, where would we start?
Well, the first place where we start is with the mindset. So as you mentioned, you know, we don't have the processes in place. Why? We have to figure out why Is it important for the CEO, for the company, for the leadership team to actually have well-documented processes and procedures? I always start there. If I'm not convinced that they have a why behind doing it, it's just because, you know, a why is not because I read it in a textbook or because Alice told me or because, you know, another, I know that it needs to be done. You really have to be convinced for yourself that you need it for a reason. It might be because you want to sell the company, you want to increase the price of the company. It might be that you want to get consistency because you can see that people like your sales team is not doing the same thing every single time. Or if you're the CEO, so it's not just the sales team, it's across the board, you know, you're not getting consistent results. It might be that your sales team is amazing, but then the operations are faltering. And then what happens is that you sell, but you can deliver. So that really reduces the confidence of the sales team. I mean, that happens a lot. And I'm sure you see that as well. You can sell and sell and sell, but if you can deliver, it's a problem. Let's have systems there. Many reasons. It might be that, you know, the CEO wants to step out of the company. That it's owner dependent. So that's another way, another reason why to document. So many reasons. But first of all, you got to be convinced that you want to do it and there is a reason, there is a why behind it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because I mean, you've got to be able to recognize what's not happening the way you want it to, right? And then you have to understand what needs to happen and then documenting it. And it's a lot of work because you're doing your regular job. And many CEOs, of course, they run their company, but then they're also leading sales too, and sometimes leading another department. And the time just really isn't there. So when I tell them you've got to document what you're doing, they're just like, ah, how am I going to do that, right? So what are some of the ways that a CEO can document, and not just the CEO, but the leaders, the people who've been there a long time and have all of that knowledge from years and years that needs to be shared with everyone? What are some of the ways that they can start to just get that information out of their head and document it somehow?
Yeah. So once you're convinced why you're going to do it, then you need to decide where to start. And a task can be overwhelming when everything looks the same, right? So that's why it's very important to pinpoint one thing and start, take a step in that direction from that point. So how do you know where to start? My question is always, look at the entire department. So we're talking about the sales department. So look at everything that is being done. What area of that department, of your sales process, if you had it well documented, will get you the biggest return on investment? And return on investment depend. I mean, we all want it to be more profit, but there are things that will lead to it. So maybe you are spending a lot of time doing admin. Now, I know that I ran a sales department, and I know that one thing that the salespeople really do not like is the admin, is the paperwork, is all the reports that come afterwards. They just want to go get a sale and go to the next one and the next one and the next one. So it might be that getting a sales assistant or an administrative assistant is the way to go that will get you the biggest return on investment. But as you mentioned, Alice, they might not know what to delegate or what to give to that person. So start documenting there. So it is really pinpointing where should I start. That's step number one.
Yeah, I've had CEOs literally sit with me and I draw a line down the middle of the paper and I'm like, sales work, administrative work. Let's just list it out. Okay, great. Now, you know, then I have them sometimes go even further, like sales work a CEO should do, sales work someone else should do, right? And once you start to sort it, it's like, okay, now we have to figure out how to tell someone, teach someone how to do all these things that you should not be doing. And even with sales leaders, especially if they've been, you know, with a company a long time and then sort of kind of growth organically, right? They're doing a lot of things they really shouldn't be doing. And we have to just start by literally listing out the things that they should do versus someone else should do. And then I don't know, but I think it's just like literally, what are the instructions? What would you tell someone to do, how to do that?
That's exactly right. So, you know, and the way to do it, if you want to do it yourself, is as you do it, just start recording and explain out loud what you are doing and show it on the screen and explain the rationale behind it. Why are you doing it? What are the successful actions? What are best practices? What to look for? So just start recording yourself and accumulate those videos and then give it to someone. Now, I know it's not the most elegant way to do it or the most efficient way, but it's efficient if you're doing it yourself because at least you have something.
Exactly. It's better than nothing, right? Like exactly. If the only thing you have is Zoom, well, then turn the Zoom on, hit record, share your screen, or just start talking. If it's a topic there's nothing to share, then start talking or share your screen and just show exactly what you're doing. Because yes, now we can give that to a human who can do something with it. We can also try having the AI do something with it, but at least you're further down the path. And even if you did nothing but say, hey, I need you to do this task, here's a video on how to do it. You know, if you've got the right kind of person who's a figure it out kind of person and they watch the video and then do the task, well, that's better than what you've got now, which is, hey, can you go do this, right?
Right, exactly. And one of the things that you could do, you know, you have to have it organized because otherwise it's just all over the place. So let's say, for instance, you identify that you want to, you know, give me a task, Alice, give an example of a task like that can be delegated to an admin.
Well, I think a lot of the follow-up. So this is the thing, even in founder-led sales in the early days, anytime a CEO is doing any part of the sales process, whether it's in the early days or 10 years out or 20 years out, someone else should do all of the follow-up, right? And so the CEO should have a way to give that instruction to someone. They would make the follow-up appointments. They would get all of the data into the CRM. They would prepare any documents that were promised to be sent. They would do all of that work. So completely relieving the CEO or the sales leader of that work.
Right. So another thing that you could do, so let's take the follow-up. So write the key points for yourself of how to do the follow-up. You want to have that structure. Whenever we work with clients, that's what we do. We take it in levels. So you have the level one, which is the high concept of like, okay, what is it that we need to document? We need to document follow-up. We need to get maybe proposal writing. I mean, different areas that we need to document within the sales process. I mean, it will be qualifying the lead, nurturing the lead, creating some kind of a discovery call or inspection or whatever, it depends on the profession of what they do, then some kind of a proposal follow-up, etc. So there are different stages to the sales process, and you make sure that you note it, you type it, you have that. Then you figure out where you're going to start. You're going to start with the follow-up. Good. What are the main areas of the follow-up? So you have talking points. Then go to ChatGPT or any AI of your choice and start dictating. Say, okay, I'm going to dictate the follow-up process for this and this for, you know, my assistant to follow. And here are the steps. Now, if you organize it ahead of time, then you can dictate it and then you can get the procedure written. So it's not just a video. You can do both a video and writing, which will work fine. You can use a tool like loom.com where when you record yourself, it also generates a transcript. So then you can run the transcript to ChatGPT, make sure that you actually look at what the AI turns.
Yeah, look at the output because it could be
sometimes it's like, oh, wow, okay, you have to do what? You know, it's like somebody does it and they go like, why did you do that? Well, this was written in the instructions. Really show me. Oh my gosh, where it's written from? Okay, so yeah, make sure that you look at the output. Then you can have the AI interview you. Okay, look at that procedure. What is missing? What is not clear? You know, look at it from the viewpoint of somebody that needs to do the task. What instructions am I missing? Now, it is a hit and miss. I can tell you that because, you know, we also use AI we use AI a lot and it's not perfect, but it can give you a heads. You know, you can basically get ahead by doing that. So at least you have some instructions in writing.
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think, though, that most CEOs are not going to slow down enough or take the time to actually do this. And that is a big problem, right? They want to do it and they know that we need to do it, but they don't necessarily remember to record when they're doing something or jot down the notes or any of that. And so some of the things I've suggested in the past are there's tools like I can't even think of the names of them right now, but you can just turn on your note recorder anytime or leave it running all day and it will pick up some of the things that you're doing. But I don't think that's super efficient either. So I recommend hiring someone like you, either outsourcing it or hiring someone literally to sit next to you and follow you around and document all this stuff, because you're just probably not going to do it. But it is so critically important. And if you slow down, you'll be able to speed up later, right? So let me get all of this out of my head and out of the heads of the other people who have been here a long time. And I think too, with sales process, it's not just the people on the sales team that need to be interviewed or and the CEO. There are so many other people that impact sales. And I think that we have a big miss when we don't bring all of them into the sales process also.
Absolutely. No, that's actually why I started my company in 2011. I was doing general business consulting because I'm a very good strategist. I was helping people with their strategy. But one of the things that I would say is like, you have to document your processes, because otherwise, how are you going to grow your business? And, you know, week after week, yeah, we know we need to do it. But as you said, you know, they're not
going to start doing it.
It's just not doing it. And then I go, okay, well, how about if I do it for you? Really? You can? Said, yeah, you know, so I started with one client doing it and the results were amazing. And then I realized that there is a niche, there is a need for it. And that's where my company grew. And, you know, we have consultants, technical writers. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of expertise and time to do that. But one of the things that I also would recommend is that it's not just documenting what you're doing. That's not enough. You know, it's, of course, it's the start. But the key is to also extract the rationale behind it, the why behind it. As you can see, I mean, I'm really big into the why and understanding things, because if you don't really understand the reason why you are doing different things, people can look at it and go, oh yeah, you know, Alice, you're doing it that way, but I'm going to do it another way, so it's fine. But the truth is, it might not be, because it might be that you're successful, what you are doing, you're asking that question at that specific time during your sales presentation for a reason, because it's not successful to do it over and over, or you don't follow up until 3 days later because of a reason. I'm just throwing it out. I mean, just, you know, it's not a real example.
Yeah, but there's a real reason, but you found over time that this works better. And that's why you're saying, I know you may have done it another way in the past, but here's what we found. Now, that doesn't mean that can never change. But that's why we've documented to do it this way, because it has worked very successfully.
That's exactly right. And that's why it's so important to also document best practices. Also think about what frustrates you the most about this process, because those are the points that the process is not working as it should. So when you're recording yourself or you're thinking about writing that process, what frustrates you about that process? Oh yeah, you know, this and that. Okay, good. So this is a good time to think about how to overcome that. Or what do we need to improve in order to make this process better, so then it doesn't frustrate you or becomes more efficient. So that is a great time to also improve the process.
Yeah, you can figure out what can be automated while you're writing this down. You're like, oh, I wish I didn't have to enter here, here, and here. Oh, well, maybe that could be automated, you know, or maybe it's just connecting two things together so they can communicate. So I agree with you. Writing down those frustrations are important too. I also feel like once you have written out your process, all of the people who are involved in that process, could be customer success, could be engineering, could be some other departments, they should look at that and say, well, you forgot that when you do that, you always call me and I have to get on the call with you.
Exactly.
I did forget that, you know?
Yeah, totally. Because the next step, okay, so we talk about documentation, about optimization, but implementation is the most important part. And I tell my clients, you know, if you're not going to implement those processes, don't bother spending the time writing them, because what's the point? So it's better to write less of those processes, but make sure that they're being implemented. And when I say implemented, I mean roll it out to your team, exactly what you were talking about. You have to roll it out to anyone that is touching that process and get their feedback. Have them read it and send a survey with the feedback so they can tell you what's missing or what they see that might not work, or maybe you're doing it in a different way. So you roll it out and you make sure that everyone is aware of those processes and procedures, and then use them in day-to-day management. Don't just let them sit there. You have to be able to use them and also review them on a regular basis. Because if you don't review them on a regular basis, they can become stale. And it's enough that one thing in that process is inaccurate, that people will start thinking, oh, well, if this step is not done anymore, probably the rest of them, the rest of the steps don't, they're not valid anymore. And then you get into a situation where you say, I know we have that process documented, but we don't do it anymore. So this is the way we do it. And then the confusion starts all over again, and all your hard work of trying to put all these instructions in place basically goes to nothing.
This just happened yesterday when I was talking to a team, and we were doing a funnel review, and we were talking about one of the opportunities in the funnel and whether it was in the right stage. And somebody said, well, that's all documented. And I know, because I helped them document it. And so we went to the document to see what it said. And sure enough, you know, the document needed to be updated. So, I mean, because things change, and that's why you can't, it's not static. You don't write a process once and leave it forever, right? And especially in sales, I feel like it's so important to update frequently. And, you know, one of the things you might have documented and have a playbook on how to do a sales sequence, a sequence of emails, calling, and LinkedIn to try to get a prospect engaged. Well, you and I both know that the way we were doing this even 3 years ago, but certainly 10 years ago, it doesn't work anymore. But I keep opening up playbooks at companies where they're running the same plays that worked 10 years ago, even 3 years ago.
Even 3 months ago. I mean,
it wouldn't work anymore, but it's still being taught to their salespeople.
Yeah, I know. So that's why what I recommend is for processes, depends on the maturity of the processes and how often they change. I recommend putting it on the calendar to do a process review once a quarter. And if you do it once a quarter, it doesn't have to be very, very thorough, because you're already reviewing it constantly, but then you know where to go and you ask yourself, am I still using those scripts? Did the script change? And then it's just a matter of changing a word here and there or whatever changed, but you make sure that you actually look at it. Because I think the process review has two things. It's either event-driven or time-driven. So time-driven, meaning you're going to have regular process reviews so you can make sure that everything is up to date and in the right sequence and all functioning, working, and up to date. And event, meaning you decided that you are going to change the script, or something is not working, you change it, or you got a new software, or something happened.
Yeah, so we buy a new tool, and now we're going to use the tool. It's got to be integrated.
It has to be integrated, so you always have to remember to say, oh, okay, well, I now have a new tool. I need to review my processes and add it to the processes that I have documented.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I think that's really wise, event-driven or time-driven. And, you know, every quarter you should review it anyway, right? But anytime we purchase a new tool or change something, or somebody has a great idea, we try it, it works. It's like, go back and change the playbook. But we do forget to do it. And I think, that's probably just a really hard thing. Most people don't even have well-written playbooks to begin with, but then updating them, if they do, just doesn't happen. I work with a company who sells intranet systems to banks and engineering firms and a couple of others. And these intranets house all of this information and playbooks, right? So that it's easy for people to find them when they need them. And we were working with one of their clients, and they told me this story that she was like, I don't know how to clean this up and get this old stuff. I'm searching through her and I find some information about how to do it on your BlackBerry. When was the last time you saw BlackBerry? She's like, it was completely wrong. Like, that was not helpful at all. And so I think it just proves the point, right? You have to clean this up because someone's now searching for how to do something and the only thing they can find is from the 90s, you know, and it's not going to be helpful.
We might have listeners right now that go, why is she mentioning what is a BlackBerry, like the thing we eat? No, it used to be a phone that was called BlackBerry. So
yeah, right? So look it up. Google it if you don't know what a BlackBerry is.
BlackBerry phone. Go ahead.
BlackBerry device, BlackBerry phone. Yeah. Anyway, so that was very funny, but it's kind of sad because the person who needed that information needed it.
Yeah.
And all they could find is this very old document. And so I think it's especially in sales where we're changing pricing, we're changing process, we're changing our decks around all these things that are not static. And salespeople need the most updated version at the moment that they need it. And it's like, it can't be like, oh, oops, we forgot to update that. But it's kind of how it appears. So,
yeah, totally. I agree.
Yeah. So let's just review because I think it's so important. If you are a CEO or a leader out there who feels like, okay, it's time. We have a little of this and a little of that, but we really need to have our process cemented, right? Not cemented so much that we never change it, but it's like it's documented. Let's use that word better. It's documented. It's easy to find. It's updated on a regular basis, right? If you're there and you're ready to get started, let's go through these steps again. So number one
is having the right mindset. I mean, for you and for your team. So there has to be a session about like, why are we doing it? What results do we want to get? What is our goal? And then, okay, we're all in alignment and agreement on that. Step number two will be to map all the key processes in the department. And then step number three will be to decide where to start. What will give you, if you had well-documented processes and procedures in that area, will get you the biggest return on investment. Then step number four, you start documenting. So however that works for you, you extract the information, record videos,
get an assistant to help you, outsource it, whatever you do. Let's get moving on one process and get it documented.
That's right. Let's get it documented and then roll it out. Roll it out to the team, get feedback from them, ask questions, be willing to accept the feedback. Like, does that work? Did we miss anything? I mean, do you see how are you going to use it, etc.? Just make sure you roll it out. And then talk to the team about how you're going to use it in day-to-day management. So now that we have the processes, then when you are doing your meetings, you know, if there is an issue that comes up, let's say somebody didn't follow up with an important prospect. Okay, let's open the process. Let's see what it says, which step was not followed, why wasn't it followed. It's always a people problem, a process problem, or both. So you do that. Then you also schedule regular reviews on your calendar to review the processes and make sure that they are being used. And you develop a culture of accountability where people will refer to the processes and make sure that they use it and they are accountable to execute what is being said in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think I'm just going to add train and retrain, right? Because you just think, well, we developed this process. Oops, we forgot to train everybody on it. Like everybody, right? Everybody in the company that might touch that process in any way whatsoever. And maybe even if they don't, if it's an important process that everybody should just know about, but it definitely if they touch it. So train them, but then retrain them in a period of time, whatever seems logical. And especially if you've reviewed the process and changed or updated it in some way, you have to retrain. You can't just say, hey, everybody, we changed the process. And hope they go read it because or watch the video. They might not, right?
That's exactly so right.
We got to train and retrain.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much for being on the show to share this. This is such valuable information. It's going to make a great post as well because you're very explicit about the steps. And that's what everybody really likes these days, I think. They just want to know, tell me how to do this so I can get started and get going on it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I have three quick questions for you before we leave the show today.
Okay. The
first one is, what's a book that you think every CEO should read?
There are definitely different books. I think that 10X by Grant Cardone is one of my favorite. I think that's a mindset that's very important. And, you know, I have a book here that I was just reading. I like this one. It's The Power Questions. It's very good. Ooh. It's by, Gerald Panass and Andrew Sobel. So it's a great book. Bob Berg, the Go-Giver is amazing. I interviewed him several times from my podcast, and now he has a book called The Go-Giver Influencer, which every time he has a new book, I interview him because I think it's phenomenal. It's easy listening. I mean, I listen to it on Audible, and it's easy listening. It's a story, but it really gives you that mindset of, you know, how to treat others. So
yeah,
books that I really like. Yeah.
Nice. And is there a podcast that you listen to and you really enjoy it because it helps you think differently?
You know, I listen to so many podcasts. Built to Sell Radio is really good. Inspired Insider is very good, but Jeremy Wise. Those are some of my favorites.
Very good. And the last question is, what do CEOs need to know to win in this market?
They need to know that there are things that within their control and things that are not, and they have to identify what they can control and do more of that and become better at that. That is really what I think. I had a person once told me that he refuses to participate in recession. He refuses to participate in, and it's refusing to participate in things that are out of your control. And look at what you can take control of and do more of that, become better. I do think that, you know, becoming, you know, being a lifelong learner is very important in order to win in this market or any market, because you have to adjust. You have to adjust the market to what works, you know, in terms of like, and you have to have knowledge in order to do that.
Yeah. Thrive in any market. That's the key, right?
You do. It's kind of like, you know, especially in sales. I mean, I don't think like, let's say, you know, the market is down or something is happening. You're not going to call all your salespeople and say, okay, well, you know what? We're not going to do anything. No, you're going to.
Yeah, bummer. We can't sell today. I mean,
yeah,
no.
Sorry. No, it's going to be the opposite. It's going to be how do we do more? What tools are out there that to help us to do more? And in order to succeed in that, you have to figure out, you know, you have to have your systems well documented for sure, so you don't lose the knowledge and you're efficient and you can replicate your success. But you have to also innovate all the time to stay relevant.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. I can't wait to record with you again on your show. We're going to have a lot of fun, but thank you so much for sharing with us exactly how we can start to make sure we have the right systems in place.
You're very welcome, Alice. Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed the show, please like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week.